and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today, like he did last week, is my good friend Mo Berg from The Pursuit of Happiness. Mo, it's great to have you back for a second week in a row on the Regal Beagle podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Danko.
So last week, we talked about your history with Three's Company and how it brought back many memories. So let's do one more episode with you here. Season 5, Episode 18, Night of the Ropers. It aired March 17, 1981, directed by Dave Powers, written by George Burdett. Mrs. Roper leaves Mr. Roper after he decides to go bowling instead of celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. Mrs. Roper decides to head over to their old apartment and visit the kids. Mo, what did you think of Night of the Ropers?
Well, one thing about this episode, and every episode that I can recall, especially as the show went along in seasons, was really, there was a ton of slapstick comedy. And so this one was especially full of that. It just seemed like at every second, Mr. Hurley was being banged around or hit or something. And so it was interesting to see so much slapstick, which is something you barely ever see anymore.
Yeah, it is great. And rewatching these episodes, I noticed how often Three's Company used the pie in the face gag, which is just such a lost gag in today's, you know, TV world.
Right. Went into like a food fight era for a while, but yeah, totally right.
Yeah. And I think because the Ropers returned to the show after giving up the apartment to Furley and all that stuff, I think everybody was excited to work with each other again, you know, and having them return to the show, everyone was kind of, so you feel the excitement of the gags and the physical comedy. I think everybody was kind of upping their game on this episode. It's not the greatest storyline, but it is one of the most significant episodes in the entire series of Three's Company for a few reasons.
Oh yeah. Like, so in what way would you say so? I agree with that. I felt like there was a slightly more energy than the previous episode I watched. It felt like the energy level was just higher in general.
Yeah, I could feel like Jack and Janet and Mr. and Mrs. Roper happy to be working alongside each other again. But it's significant for 3 reasons. The first reason is this is the last ever appearance of the Ropers on television.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So their show had already gone off the air?
It had gone off the air May of 1980, and this episode aired March of 1981. So it had almost been a full year since the Ropers were on the air, and obviously a full year since they, you know, Norman Fell and Audrey Lindley had taken on the characters of the Ropers. And right. Backstage, behind the scenes, Norman Fell fought for the Ropers to be on for a second season, but it was obvious that ABC wanted it yanked off the air. They changed the time slot and they basically deliberately tanked the show. So this was a chance for, I think, loose ends to be tied up, to bring in the Ropers one last time. So it's significant that way.
Right. And I'm curious as what the value of that is for either party. Like, what do you think?
I don't think there's any value in it. I think other than, you know, the show had moved on. It had maintained its hit status with Furley as the new landlord. So they didn't lose any ratings. In fact, I think they even grew a little bit. So the show itself was solid. But I think if anything, it was a chance for the writers, the director, and the actors to reunite, more of an inside thing than anything
right.
else.
Okay.
It's significant in the second significant point is it's the only time Furley and the Ropers are in scenes together on the series.
Right.
So Yeah, there. That's to me, that's a big deal because, you know, I think Norman Fell, and who played Mr. Roper, and of course Don Knotts, who played Mr. Furley, are great character actors on their own, as you know. And Don Knotts to me is like one of the greatest actors of all time. So,
right, I can see. I think I can see why it worked. When I think about it now, as you're talking about this, in terms of like why Don Knotts, replacing them with Don Knotts was good, because again, it seemed like in some ways the Ropers themselves were a tiny bit one dimensional. It was just mm-hmm. like, you know, and so bringing in Mr. Furley and not having that sort of like, what was interesting about the Ropers thing was the whole sexual dynamic. And then that was because that was just starting to become a thing on American TV where you could be a little bit more explicit about sex and really not really that explicit at all. But there was this idea of a woman who wanted sex and stuff like that. That would be a pretty newish kind of idea back then.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like their game. That was the play. And so after a few seasons of that, where does that really go?
Nowhere.
So bringing in Don Knotts, it keeps the sort of idea of the landlord in a similar kind of world, but a whole different dynamic. Like it's a completely different character.
Yeah, it was in the fact that the Ropers were a couple; they're kind of tied to each other. Whereas Furley is a single guy; he's a swinging guy, but he's also a loser who's, you know, delusional, and it's a perfect setup.
Right.
And it's a gag. Unlike the Ropers, it's a gag that I can hear over and over again, whereas I thought the Ropers gags had an expiry date.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. The third point about the show's significance, or the episode's significance, is on IMDb, Paul Ainslie, who is Jim the bartender at the Regal Beagle, is only credited for 11 appearances throughout the series, not credited for this his last and 12th appearance on the series.
I wonder why.
It might be an oversight, but Jim the bartender, not Mike the bartender, but Jim the bartender is actually in a scene, the scene when Jack is talking to Mr. Roper, trying to get him to go back to Mrs. Roper.
Right, so he goes over to grab a beer, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and Jim the bartender is the one who sets up the beer.
Right. Okay.
But
very interesting.
Yeah, I mean it's not the best storyline. It's kind of like, you know, we all know it kind of thing, you know, misunderstanding, catches his wife in bed with Furley and wants to fight him or wants to divorce or whatever. We can all kind of put it all together, but really in the bigger scheme of the series, it's a really really important episode.
Right. Just in terms of its historical perspective.
Yes, yeah. And it ends, you know, like you're saying, the Ropers, you know, she's always wanting sex. He always wants to avoid her. Well, the Ropers finally end with them having sex.
Right, right, right. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So it was a nice way to tie everything up, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. I guess if that's the end of the Ropers, then that's the way it should end.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mrs. Roper's happy.
Right.
Yeah.
And comical that Mr. Roper had to get drunk in order to.
Right. That's right, actually. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Right. It's true. But that's it. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, there's, you know, some kind of gay jokes and stuff when, you know, another thing is like they've moved out of the apartment and yet Jack still has to pretend he's gay in front of Mr. Roper, which I thought was interesting. You know, so anyways.
Yeah, and it's funny because, and Larry's in on the gag. Like, it seems like it's such an elaborate ruse.
Yeah.
And because what would happen if the Ropers found out? If the Ropers found out when they tell Mr. Furley with the whole thing? And, you know, and I get, it's, do you feel like the gag of him being gay was necessary right to the end of the series? Could it have been exposed and it would have still been fine if they were all living together, or is that too much?
I have to admit, when I was a kid watching this, I loved the jokes when Jack would, you know, pretend he was gay, and you know, Furley would be freaked or Roper would be freaked. I thought it was hilarious. And even some of the homophobic jabs that Roper and Furley would needle Jack with, I thought were funny, I have to admit. And in rewatching this, it's still funny to me. So I wouldn't change anything.
Right. I guess it seemed to me, and if my memory, even watching these episodes, it just seemed like it seemed less and less important in terms of the context of the show. Mm. This, that he gave, just seemed, you know, at a certain point, he's just entrenched living there. Everybody knows everybody, and we're just kind of living our life. And it's just like the fact that it had to keep coming up. I wonder if that is slightly homophobic, that it made sense that you couldn't have a guy living with two women.
I think it was really important. It added another angle for jokes. That's how I see it. And I honestly find them still funny. I mean, I caught myself laughing at some of the jokes that, you know, Furley was throwing at Jack, you know, and how Larry was, you know, trying to scare Furley. So I understand, looking at it through a 2019 lens, that I think some people wouldn't find it funny, but it's hard for me to look at it objectively since I've lived with these episodes for so long.
Right. Yeah. Like I said last week, in some ways, I think if you want to, you can look at it like they're playing, you know, they're playing Furley for a fool.
Yeah.
Like, and so he looks, when you're making fun of someone who's homophobic, it makes it politically a little bit more easy to digest, I guess.
Exactly how I would interpret it today. If anyone was to you know, crap on Three's Company, that's how I would defend it.
Right. Yeah, if I was trying, I would make a joke like that if I knew all I was doing is exposing somebody's ignorance or something like that, and I could laugh at them for being so foolish, then I could sort of feel justified doing that, because I'm really just making fun of, it's like, you know, it's like anything, when you're making fun of a redneck or you're making fun of whatever, you might use the sort of the ideas surrounding that in order to make your point, I guess. So, I think it's in terms of like we're not really making fun of it, you could certainly interpret it where that people were not making fun of gay people so much of making fun of a homophobe.
Yeah. And maybe a past generation, you know, the young kids don't care so much, but the older folks do.
Possibly, yeah.
But anyways, Mo, what is your ruling on Night of the Ropers?
Well, Night of the Ropers, I guess I watched last week's episode, you know, first, and again, that's where I really got this sort of wave of nostalgia watching it, and really sort of thought a lot about what TV was like. What one of the things I really really came back to me when I was watching both of these episodes was how the sort of lower middle class was so dominant, the way it was portrayed in television back in that era, when you think about One Day at a Time and All in the Family. Like the furnishing, the interiors were all sort of very lower middle class.
Right.
And that changed a lot when you started to have these sort of like more epic shows like Dynasty and Dallas and stuff like that. Like all the actors were sort of a slightly more engaged, and I think the plot itself was a tiny bit more fast moving, and just because of all the various characters, it seemed like that episode held together a little bit. It kept my interest a little bit more, I guess, because it was a little bit more high energy and a little bit, there was a little less, more moving parts, I guess.
In the Night of the Ropers.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mo,
how did you feel?
I wasn't a big fan of the first episode you were on, last week's episode, and Baby Makes Four. But I really, really liked A Night of the Ropers, mainly because, you know, I knew I was watching the Ropers for the last time. Jim the bartender exits, and the scenes with Furley and Roper, like going at it with Furley trying to like karate chop him, is classic.
Right. Yes. It's hilarious.
But thank you.
It's hilarious to see these dudes, these So, going at each other in such a non-masculine sort of way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And watching him karate chop wearing yellow pajamas. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's pretty great. They must have, the writers and the director must have been killing themselves laughing.
Exactly. How can you control yourself on set?
Right.
Well, Mo, thanks a lot for doing this and coming. Please, you are welcome to come back, visit us for another season, knock on our door, and we'll always be waiting for you.
Okay, great. It was great talking to you, Danko.
Thank you.